Thank you. Well, I want to thank Tom for inviting me to teach this morning. It's always a tremendous pleasure to be able to stand up here before all of you and teach God's Word. So thank you, brother. And this morning, I want to cover something with you that's really very simple and very fundamental to all of us, because what we're going to be looking at this morning is a topic that helps us to ingrain the things of God's Word into our lives, to make them a part of our daily living. Anybody interested in that? Yeah, I am too. And so we're going to start this morning in Matthew chapter 6, if you would just turn to Matthew 6. And we will be jumping around a little bit here at the beginning, so you may want to put a marker in Matthew 6 because we'll be coming back to this. But in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 19, where it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So we're talking about treasures here. This word treasure can be used of a place where treasures are stored or of the actual treasure itself. But it's something that's precious, something that's very valuable to you. Okay? And it's contrasting here treasures on earth. We know what earth is, right? Talking about the ground. And treasures in heaven, which is above earth. And of course, speaking figuratively here regarding earthly treasures or heavenly treasures, things of the spiritual realm or things of the earthly realm. And he warns us against laying up treasures upon earth, earthly treasures, because of a few things that are mentioned here, moth and rust and corrupt. Don't sound like good words. The term moth really probably doesn't communicate as well to us today as it did when I was a kid. Many of you may have never even heard of mothballs. Do you know what mothballs are? I think they still sell them today, but usually they're like used to put in a garden to keep slugs away from your plants or something. People don't usually use mothballs much anymore. But moths at one time were a big problem for your winter clothing. You have your summer clothes. They're nice, light, cotton. Your winter clothes were normally wool pants, wool coats, wool shirts. Moths liked wool. So you had to take steps in order to preserve them from the moths. Let's look at a couple places. Look at Job 13, right before Psalms. Look at Job chapter 13. And in verse 28, Job 13:28 says, "And he, as a rotten thing, consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten." A garment that is moth-eaten. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 9. It says in Isaiah 50, verse 9, "Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." Most of the places, if you look up the word moth, that's the sense in which it's used, of something being moth-eaten. And when a moth would eat something, it would just devour a whole section. You know, you'd put your coat away for the winter, and then you would get it out, and there would just be a big section missing. You know, there weren't any remnants left. It would just devour it, is what it would do. So that's why you had to put these lovely smelling things called mothballs in with your clothing in order to protect from the moth, because the moth would eat it up. Back in Matthew chapter 6, the next term that's used here is, it says moth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Rust, once again, from my generation, we were all very familiar with rust because most of our cars were being consumed by it. You'd have a nice car and then you look down the side and a section of your rear fender would be gone because the rust had eaten it. This term is really a word that's usually translated as meat and refers to the act of eating. But the outcome is the same, just like the moth. You know, if you put a cheeseburger and fries in front of me, it's going to vanish away. And that's what this term is referring to, and that's actually what the word corrupt means, where it says, moth and rust doth corrupt. The word corrupt means to be devoured or to simply vanish away. And this is the reference that's being made to treasures on earth, these earthly treasures. They're very susceptible to outside sources. The moth, the rust, it corrupts. It causes them to vanish away. And there's also something else that can prey on them. It says thieves can break through and steal. So you see these earthly treasures, the point being made very clearly by the use of the different words here is that they're uncertain. You know, they could be here today and the moth could eat them tomorrow. Or something else could just eat them up outside of the moth. Or somebody could come in and steal those things. So laying up treasures on earth, not a very sound practice, right? Look at Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Jesus was speaking to a group of people here, and in Luke 12, 13 it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And boy, what a wonderful statement in our generation today. You know, that's pretty much what people think life is all about, the acquisition of material possessions. You know, we even have the stupid bumper stickers that, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. Really, stop and think about that for a minute. I would say he who believes on Jesus Christ wins because, you know, that death doesn't stop us. He who gets back up wins, okay? That's who wins. He who gets back up wins. Because all those toys you accumulated will not get you up from the grave, but the sound of a trumpet will, you know? But a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, that's where we want to be rich. That's where we want to have our treasure. We want to be rich towards God. Proverbs 27:1 is a great verse along this line. I'll just read to you what it says. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, and boy, isn't that the truth. Look back at Matthew chapter 6. Because fortunately, he also gave us an alternative here in Matthew 6. But he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, the things of God are not affected by any earthly conditions. They are untouchable by any earthly conditions. If we lay up our treasures in earthly things, they're susceptible to many external things, right? They could just vanish away. But those heavenly treasures are untouchable by the same earthly conditions. You know, and this really is so very important for us because of what it says in the next verse, verse 21. Because it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Tom taught a few weeks ago on the topic of the priority of prayer. And he just talked about how many of us have mentioned to him over the years how we really need to pray more and have a desire to pray more. And the simple point he made was the reason we don't is because it's not a priority. It's not a priority in our lives. Because those things that are important to us, those things that we really want to do, we find time to do. If we're not finding time to do something, it's because it really isn't one of our top priorities. You know, and Jesus is making the same point in this verse. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, those things that we really want to see occur in our lives will happen because we'll see to it. See? And as I said, the reason this is so important to us is because of the matter of the heart. And when we're speaking of the heart, not talking about the organ in your chest that's pumping your blood, but simply speaking of your innermost thoughts and desires, those things that are at the very seat of your life. And it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if our treasure is in earthly things, that's where our heart's going to be. If our true treasure is in spiritual realities, that's where our heart's going to be too. And that is so important because of the effect the heart has on the things that we show forth in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 20 of Proverbs 4, where it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, this is the one. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me ask you a simple question. Who's responsible for your heart? We are, right? We are responsible for what is in our heart. That is something that we choose, which is a wonderful thing to know, to be aware of. You know, that we have the responsibility of keeping our heart. You know, but those things that show forth in our lives are the result of what's in our heart. And we just learned from Matthew 6, what's in our heart are those things that we treasure. So those give us two very important points to consider when it comes to having these things of God's Word showing forth in our lives. What's in my heart's going to be those things that I treasure, and what's in my heart are going to be those things that are shown forth in my life. So if I'm not satisfied with what's showing forth in my life, what should I do? Change what's in my heart, right? Because that's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm talking about in our personal lives. I know there are external things that we have to deal with that we have no control over what we're being bombarded with. But we certainly do have control over the amount of effect those things have on us in our daily living, as well as how we deal with them. And those things, once again, will be the result of what we have placed in our hearts. See, what's in our hearts is going to be those things that we treasure, and what we show forth in our life are going to be those things that are in our heart. Okay? Boy, and verse 23 would be a good one. If you need something to put on a plaque where you see it every day, this would be a great one to put on a plaque. You know, the word keep is a word that means to watch or to guard. To watch or to guard. And it's interesting, the words with all diligence are actually a very similar word in meaning. Read you a definition. It says, a place of confinement, a prison, a guard post, or the act of guarding. So it's kind of like saying the same thing. Keep or guard your heart with all guarding. That's basically the essence of what it's talking about. Give you a couple other versions how they handle this verse. It says, above all that must be guarded, keep thou thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Above all that must be guarded, keep thou thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. That's from Rotherham's Emphasized Bible. Darby handles this, keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, really putting the emphasis on the importance of guarding or keeping our hearts. You know, and this is just so vitally important, but how much consideration do people really give to that? You know, we're very concerned about guarding our retirement portfolio or guarding the information on my computer or guarding my identity. You know, we hear advertisements about these things all the time about, you know, you got to pay for this service so somebody doesn't steal this from you. But how many people give consideration to guarding or keeping their heart? And that really needs to be one of our top priorities, especially when it comes to the things of God and the things of His Word. If I really want to have those things show forth in my life, I'm in absolute control of that. I am in absolute control of that. I can determine what I put in my heart. I can determine the information I'm feeding on my mind. I can determine what I'm carrying in my heart, the things I'm thinking on, the things I'm pondering. That's entirely up to me, you know. And that's going to have a tremendous effect, if this verse is right, on what's showing forth in my life, what I'm seeing. Look at Look at Luke chapter 6. You know, many of us just had the privilege to come out of family camp where we were looking at the book of Romans, which is so foundational and fundamental for all of us. And I know many of us came back very excited about seeing those truths from Romans regarding our salvation, our redemption, our righteousness, our sanctification, seeing all those things really showing forth in our lives. And this is how that happens. This is how that happens. This is how that information we've received will continue to have an effect on our lives and not simply be great things that we remember. Wasn't it great when we heard those things, but they have no effect on me today? Those of you that weren't there, I'm sure you'll be hearing plenty about what went on there and the teachings and everything. So don't mean to cut anybody short, but you have your Bibles too. You can read Romans. But where did I tell you to go? Luke 6. Okay, sorry. I'm getting there. Luke chapter 6. We'll start in verse 43 where it says, "For a good tree bringeth forth not, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Good tree and corrupt tree, we might simply understand it better as a healthy tree and an unhealthy tree. You know, I'm sure you've all seen apple trees that have the beautiful big apples on them. Remember years ago when I was a teenager, I used to go, sometimes in the summer, you could go and work at one of the local orchards and pick these apples. And man, they'd have these big golden delicious apples and big red delicious apples. But then I'm sure we've all seen the corrupt tree too, or the unhealthy tree. You know, those ones that's got those little apples and they've got all the dents in them and the little scab-like looking things and stuff. You know, you see them laying on the ground, you really aren't tempted to go, "Ooh, I'd sure like the bite of that." Nothing there, right? And that's what it's talking about. A healthy tree brings forth healthy fruit. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. Verse 44, "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do gather figs. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You know, just confirming what we read in Proverbs, what shows forth out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. Now, I know we all at times may guard our speech if we're with a certain, you know, if you're in a certain environment, it's possible for you to suppress your natural inclinations if you would need to. But that's not what it's talking about here. When you're really being honest with yourself, what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. You know, some of the romantics talk about the eyes are the window to the heart. I may look in your eyes. I doubt that I could tell very much about what's in your heart. But as soon as you open your mouth, and I'm not looking inside to get to, you know what I mean? But as soon as we open our mouths, we start displaying what's really in our hearts. See? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we want our speech to line up with God's Word, the thing we do is not try to correct the mouth. The thing we correct is in the heart. Right? Look at Proverbs 16. Great verse of illustration. You might want to keep your finger in Luke if you didn't already turn back. If you did, you can find it again. But Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 23, great verse on this topic. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. So what's being shown forth, the things that I'm speaking, are the result of what I've been putting in my heart, what I've been holding in my heart. Back in Luke 6, I'll give you a second to get there since I didn't tell you to keep your finger there. So once again in verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Tremendous point being made in here. It's not just in the hearing of the word. It's in the hearing and then doing of the word that we lay ourselves a strong foundation. See, and that's what we're talking about in the heart. You know, the first time I hear something, it may not make it to the heart. And I don't know, there are things just in our natural makeup. I don't know how all this stuff works. Sometimes you hear something from the Word and you just get it. Other times you read it in the Word and you get the concept, but it's not really a part of you yet. It takes time. And I don't know how, you know, those are things that I don't know how that all works. But I do know that if I take the things of God's Word and I carry those things with me, if I endeavor to put them into practice, I hold them, I ponder them, they do get to the heart. They do become a part of you. They do show forth in your life. And that I know. And I think what he says here is a great key to that. It's not just in the hearing of the word or in the reading of the word. It's in hearing that word to the end that we put it into practice, that we carry it with us, that the heart really begins to change. And I think that would line up with things we know from Romans 12:2 and the renewing of the mind and some of those things as well. But it all is a matter of what we are putting in our heart. What's in our heart is going to be those things that we treasure. And what shows forth from the heart are those things that we've put in there. Okay. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 44. Jesus is listing a number of parables here regarding the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are terms that are used interchangeably in the different gospels. And not so much talking about, we think of a kingdom in terms of a geographic area. It's more in the sense of the reign of God, or the reign of heaven. And that's what he's talking about here. But he makes a wonderful point in Matthew 13:44. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." You know, talking about the reign of God, the things of God, the great significance of it, it's something that once you get a glimpse of it, once you find it, it's worth selling everything you have in order to acquire it. That's the kind of treasure that it is, and that's the point he's making here about the kingdom of heaven. Look at Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we have a record of Jesus dealing with a young man who had great treasure in the earthly realm. And some wonderful things here in this section. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 is where we'll start. It says, "And when he was gone forth," speaking of Jesus, "when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And I love Jesus' response in verse 21. It says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I'm sure he's just thinking, sure you have. You know, I mean, really, we know that, you know, I'm sure he wasn't walking in perfection, but he was endeavoring to do these things. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, he's going to clarify what he's talking about. He says, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He's talking about that in which we place our trust. That was the reason the young man was having such a difficult time, because he trusted in those earthly riches, those earthly treasures. Jesus said, Tell you what, you want to be complete, you want to do what's necessary, just sell all those things and come and follow me. And that was a little more than he could take, because those are the things he trusted in. Those are the things that he relied on, see? And that's what we're really talking about, too, when we're dealing with issues of the heart. We all want to trust God. We all want to walk with God. Well, there are certain things that we can do to facilitate that, and there are things that we do that can hinder that, you know? But it's really a matter of where we are placing our trust. Are we willing to let go of those earthly treasures in order to pursue the things of God? Jesus said in the parable, the kingdom of God, it's so precious that it's worth selling everything you have in order to acquire it, you know? And praise God, we didn't have to sell anything. Yeah, we didn't have to sell anything to acquire it. You know, as a matter of fact, we could have sold everything we had and we still couldn't have acquired it. You know, and that's the point of Jesus' teaching. Oftentimes you read things like this and you think that he was offering a way of salvation to this young man, when in reality, we know that that's not possible. And the end result of all of Jesus' teachings were always pointing to the fact that they needed to believe on him if they wanted to have those things of God in their lives, because there was no other way in order for that to happen. There was no other way for that to take place. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, as I said, we could have sold everything we had and we still couldn't have paid the price necessary to receive salvation, because salvation is a gift offered by God. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, we receive it free of charge because someone else paid the charge for us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I just want to pull a verse out of here that goes right along with what we're considering today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 9, it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, he took our place and was willing to lay aside his privilege in order to take our place. He took our sin upon himself and paid the price for us so that you and I could be rich with him, that we could share in the riches and the wealth that he has. And you and I have done that when we believed on Jesus Christ. We have great riches. We have great wealth. But they're not earthly riches. They're not earthly treasures. See? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Certainly not something we could have purchased on our own, right? To be joint heirs with Christ, to be heirs of the things of God. But it's something that you and I receive freely. We have great wealth, great riches, great treasure in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and Titus chapter 3. We'll start in verse 4. It says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know, that's the wealth, that's the riches that we have. You know, it's so, it's not funny, it's kind of sad really, when we allow ourselves to get tied up in the things of this life because they are so short. You know, you stop and think, if somebody said, "Max, 70 years, going to be some tribulation, some trouble, going to be kind of difficult at times, but you just keep walking through those 70 years, and I'll give you 930 years of bliss beyond your wildest dreams." Would that be a good exchange? 70 years for 930 years? You know, so we're talking 1,000 years here. That'd be a pretty good deal. Well, you know, God's offer was not that small. You know, we live this life, and we are challenged. There's a lot of things that we have to deal with. But we don't just get 930 years or 1,860 years. You know, we get eternity. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years with everything being perfect. Why do we allow ourselves to become so engrossed in this little speck of time when we have been given so much? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You know, everything He accomplished is now ours. We share in it fully. His accomplished work is ours. You know, and it's not that this life has to be a total bummer either, you know. This life can be a life full of joy, full of love, because God has made that available to us too. Doesn't mean that there may not be bumps in the road and challenges along the way, but there are a lot of great things that can happen here right now that we can enjoy as well. And all we're doing is the prelude to eternity. You know, that's where we're going. That's where we're headed, is into eternity with our Heavenly Father, where you talk about reigning in life. He did it so we could reign in this life. Well, we have much more reigning in life to do with our Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. You know? And those are the things that I want to put into my heart, because that's the attitude I want to have. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just like all of you. It's challenging at times. It's difficult. You know. But praise God, we've got a body where we can help each other with that stuff. We can talk to each other when those things come out of our mouths that we wish weren't carrying in our hearts. We have someone there to say, "What are you thinking like that for? Why are you harboring that? Don't just stop and think for a minute." You know, and help us to get our minds right so that we can put the right stuff in our heart and carry those things. It is very easy when you're going through a difficult time to start carrying those burdens rather than thinking in terms of deliverance that's available to you, you know, because those things are right in your face. But God has done such a wonderful work for us already. He's continuing to work in us now, and we're just headed for eternity. Yeah. Those are the things that I certainly want to have in my mind, you know, according to the hope of eternal life, as it said there in verse 7. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6. Paul here talking about his ministry and those that worked with him. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He refers to this gospel concerning Jesus Christ that he talks about in Romans. He calls this gospel a treasure. I would have to agree with that, you know. When you stop and think for a moment that it says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that's pretty much a treasure. And we've all experienced that. If you haven't, please believe on Jesus Christ before you leave today. Talk to someone about anybody you're sitting by can probably fill you in and give you the information you need to make that choice. But it certainly is a treasure that we have this gospel concerning Jesus Christ, which tells us of what he's done for us, tells us of the work that he accomplished in his earthly ministry, and what you and I now have available to us to utilize in our daily living. You know? And as I said, this is just a small portion of it. What we are really looking forward to is eternity. That's when the fun really starts. You know, just think about that. All eternity that we have to look forward to. And I would say this wonderful gospel we've got certainly is a treasure. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So maybe we should be treasuring these things that we're reading here in the gospel, right? So that those are the things that show forth in our lives. Because that's what we really all want. Anyone here that does not want to have confidence in God? Me? Hey, I'm with you. Anyone here who does not want to see the power of God in evidence in their lives? No. See, we all, that's what we all want. And it starts with what we're putting in our hearts. But what's in our hearts going to be those things that we treasure? What importance do we place on these? See, because I know I don't like it, and it hurts my heart when I talk with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling with things. And yet you start talking to them, and you find out they don't read their Bible. They don't spend much time in prayer. And then a crisis comes up, and they wonder why it's so difficult for them to believe what the Word says. What have you been doing? See, what have you been putting in your heart? What are you treasuring? You know, that's what makes all the difference in the world when it comes to this stuff. And it's those things we do on a daily basis that may seem simplistic or mundane at times that make all the difference in the world. See? That I'm feeding myself daily on this treasure of the gospel that we've received. That I'm thinking about how these things affect my life. How do I live this way? It's those things that we do on a daily basis that when crunch time is there, we've either built these things in our hearts or we haven't. But you know the great thing is, if we haven't, we can. See? That's what's so exciting about the things of God. It's not that, sorry about your luck, pal. You know, no, that's never the way it is. We can always change. We can start changing right now. And as I said, there are certain things that may be challenging for us from the Word of God, things that may take a considerable amount of time for us to just keep plugging away at these things to the end that we really get it, to the end that we really grasp it in our hearts. Other things aren't like that. Other things are like that. You know? So we don't want to get this idea in our minds that, well, yeah, I've been blowing it for a while, but man, it's going to take forever to get... No, not necessarily. It's like with prayer. Prayer is the same way. You know, when we pray, we should be expecting an answer. Sometimes the answer may take a day, 2 days, may take a week. But you know what? There's sometimes you pray and you get the answer just like that. And that should be our anticipation. That should be our expectation. You know, when it comes to putting God's Word on in our hearts, let's not get this idea that it's going to take forever to do these things. Why? We're talking about God's Word and His power behind it, like we heard in the manifestations today. He's the one that brings this stuff to pass. See? So my job is just to get it into my mind and heart to carry these things, and then we'll just see where God takes it. You know, I'm not going to put any fence around His ability to work in me. See? But He certainly will if we allow Him to. Did I read these? Yes, I did read these verses in there. Colossians chapter 2. And as I said at the beginning today, this is so simple and so fundamental, but man, it's something we've got to keep remembering. You know, if we're not seeing the things of God in our lives the way we want to, we can change that. See? We can change that. Because what we treasure is what's going to be in our heart. See? And what's in our heart is going to be what's showing forth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. If you remember, Tom covered this a while back. Most of the text just read, unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, Christ. And speaking of Christ in verse 3, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Once again, how valuable is this gospel that we've been given? How valuable is this information that you and I have the privilege of reading regarding our Lord and Savior and what He's done for us? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, and you and I are in Him. That's pretty cool. Let's just continue reading here. Verse 4 says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, that's certainly the direction we want our lives to take. And as I said, it's not shallow. When things are in our heart, that's where we want them to be. Not just information, but it's taking that information we've received from God's Word and doing it, putting it into practice, see? Thinking about it, speaking about it, so that it does have the opportunity to just become a part of us. See? And then we can show those things forth. And that's why it says, you know, rooted, built up, and established. That's what we want. And where we want to be rooted, built up, and established is in Him. In Him. In the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. That's just fantastic. And man, that's what's available to us. Look over in chapter 3 of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, those are the things that you and I are to seek. Those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And that's certainly where we want our treasure to be. That's where we want our hearts to be, because those are the truths that we want to see happening in our lives. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Very similar truth to what we read in Matthew 6, right? Same exhortation to us to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3 says, good reason. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And ye are dead is talking about that we died with Him, like it talks about up in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 20. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, what we have now, as it says, is a token. It's an advance installment of what we have received. You know, and as great as it is, it's still just a little bit of what we have coming. It says our life is hid with Christ in God. That's a pretty amazing thing. And we have a pretty good life now. See, when we put the things of God on in our lives and live those things. But we have so much more that we are waiting for. As verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. As I said, that's when the good stuff really starts taking place. Because then we're going to see the fullness of the salvation that we've received. I think 1 Corinthians 13 talks about now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You know, we get glimpses of these things, and it, you know, it just, it's wonderful. Like the time we spent in Romans last week. Boy, you see those things and your heart just leaps for joy at what God has done for us in Christ. And yet, we're just getting a glimpse of what the future holds for us. When He returns, our salvation will be manifested in its fullness, in its completeness. I want to go one more place with you this morning, 1 Peter, and we'll close there. 1 Peter chapter 1. As I said, very, very simple, very fundamental, but those things that we treasure, those are the things that are going to be in our heart. And what's in our heart are going to be those things that show forth in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, we have treasure already sitting there waiting on us. And it's not going to be affected by moth or rust. It's not going to corrupt. Thieves are not going to break through and steal, because it's reserved in heaven for us. And that's the treasure we've got to look forward to. And those are certainly the things that we want to have our hearts and minds consumed with right now. Agreed?
Yes.
Great. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this precious gospel that makes known to us your love for us and what you were willing to do in order to secure it for us through giving the life of your only begotten Son. I pray, Father, that all of us can really treasure these things and hold them deep in our hearts so that we can bring glory to you in this day and time as people see your grace and your mercy, because it's being shown forth in our lives, to think that you, the God who is holy, who is almighty, who is good in every way, could do so much for people that were so unworthy. Thank you, Father, for just the joy it is to stand together upon your word, and may we show forth your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Jumped up on you there. Well, it'll be glory when we're there with him on heaven's golden shore, won't it?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, it's still glory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Let's sing about it. Number 53. It's glory just to walk with him. Thanks for coming. Stick around if you can.